Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Eastside Baptist Church, where the unfallible Word of God is taught by the pastor, Andrew Donaldson. We hope that this message that Andrew Donaldson brings will help you as you walk your daily life. Now, let's tune in to the message.
Great comfort this morning. I do love you. It's good to have family that rags you when your team loses. Most of the time, that means they love you. So just take it for what it is. We're here to put ourselves under the Word of God this morning. And the last two weeks, we've been looking at the stories of Jesus, and this will be our final week for now for looking at his parables. And it's pretty easy to look around our world today and see, especially our culture and our country, see how easily we can fall into the trap of being all about me. The trap of just turning inward towards our own selves. We could talk about any number of examples, but I don't think we need to reach out any further than our own hearts this morning, because I know I can think of numerous examples of me, of where I struggle with wanting to do things the way I want to benefit me. And I'm sure if each of us are honest, we all could. Jesus's words in Luke chapter 12 address that. And so this morning, we need to buckle up, because he's going to speak to a part of our hearts that we'd like to ignore, and it would be easier day to day if we did. But he's pointing us towards something that's so much better than looking at ourselves all the time. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we love you. We are here to worship you and you alone. God, we arrive here this morning together from a host of different circumstances, from a host of different pressures in life. And so, Lord, we just come before you now, Lord, and I just pray that you would give us the minds to be able to focus on your word, and soft hearts, Lord. Father, I pray for those of us who are here this morning that follow you. God, I pray that you would use your word to make us more like you this morning. God, I pray for those of you, those who are here this morning that do not know you. They may know about you. God, I pray that you would convict their hearts, lead them to repentance and faith in you for the first time. God, we love you. Above everything, we pray that you would be glorified by our response to your word this morning. Lead us with your spirit. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. We're just going to walk through it. We're going to look at five different pieces of truth this morning, examine our hearts, and respond. Are you ready? Let's read the first couple of verses here, beginning in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We're going to pause there, and let's just look at the context of what Jesus is about to say. We find a couple of things here. Jesus has a crowd of people gathered around him. He is teaching, and he's interrupted by one man. And this isn't necessarily disrespectful. This was just part of the culture. If you had a question for the one who was teaching, you asked him. This man had a question regarding Jesus because he was considered to be a teacher, a religious teacher. And It's an issue between this man and his brother and the inheritance that they're to receive. He goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, help us work this out. Make my brother split the inheritance with me and we'll be done. Now, lawfully, Jesus could have, but Jesus refused him. And he says, man, who made me a judge over you and an arbitrator over you and your brother and your stuff? In other words, Jesus is telling this man that, yes, he's a teacher, but he did not come to settle these kind of disputes. He came for a different purpose. And we know from the whole counsel of God's word, he came to show us our sin and to bring us salvation through his death on the cross and his resurrection. But Jesus just simply asked him that question. And remember, this is in front of a whole crowd. Then Luke tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says that Jesus said to them in verse 15, so Jesus is no longer just addressing the man that has interrupted him. He's talking to the whole crowd at this point. He says, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So he gives the whole crowd a warning. Two different ways. He says, take care. In other words, you must be careful. It's a command here. And then he gives another command in verse 15. Right after take care, he says, be on your guard. Guard yourselves. You must take care. You must guard yourselves, your hearts, against covetousness. Against, another way we could say this, is insatiable appetites. An appetite for things in this world that cannot be satisfied. In other words, could protect your heart against wanting for more and more and more and more. Be careful. Guard yourselves against wanting more and more and more. For the things, let me just read the verse here. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So he takes the struggle that this man is in the midst of, this argument that this man is in the midst of, and he warns everyone. Now, if we can zoom out for a second at the whole context of this passage, and when we study God's word and we look at a particular passage or particular verse, one of the things we need to do is we need to look at everything around that verse. What we find is that this is, this conversation is couched in the midst of teaching that Jesus is teaching these people that are either already following him or considering following him, they're seeking him out to find out who he is, about the cost of following him. In other words, it's not going to be easy. It's not necessarily going to benefit you here on earth in any way, but it's worth it. And then the other thing is couched between two different sections where Jesus tells the people that are going to follow him or are following him or are considering following him to not worry. Before and after this passage, we see these encouragements not to worry. And then if we back up a little bit further in Luke 11, we see the Lord's Prayer where Jesus teaches his followers how to pray first about his kingdom, that his kingdom would come, and then simply to ask for daily needs. Then we come to this man who wants more and more, and this warning from Jesus, guard your heart, be careful that your heart does not want for more and more and more stuff. Be careful. So that's our context. That's where Jesus is addressing this. Now, what we need to see here, first and foremost, and this kind of blankets this whole passage here, is that Jesus' followers must actively protect our hearts from insatiable appetites, for the appetite of more, wanting more and more and more. And we could talk about this in a host of different ways. Most often, we think about coveting and wanting more, we think of things, money, right? That's what our mind goes to, and that's true. We need to be careful about that because that is a trap, a spiritual trap to keep us from loving the Lord and loving others. But it's more than just money and possessions. A diagnosis question we could ask of ourselves to check our hearts on this is, are any of my relationships broken or breaking because of money or possessions? Are any of my relationships broken or breaking because of money or possessions? For the man that Jesus had addressed directly, his relationship with his brother was breaking. It was being broken over possessions, over inheritance. Another question we could ask is, are any of my relationships broken or breaking because of power or control that I have sought or am seeking? It's not just limited to, covetousness isn't just limited to things and money, right? Because us as people, if we're all about ourselves, one of the things we're going to want is power so that we can do what we want when we want, right? And control so we can get others to do what we want when they want. So a diagnosis question we need to ask ourselves to see our own hearts clearly this morning: are any of my relationships broken or breaking because of my desire for power or control? In my family, in my friendships, in my church, are any of my relationships broken or breaking because of my desire for power or control? Here's another question. Is my relationship with my spouse broken or breaking because of my lustful desires? In other words, I want more and more. That lust inside of me for the opposite sex drives me to break my relationship with my spouse. We don't usually think of that as being covetousness, but it is most certainly an insatiable appetite that shatters marriages, lust. And let's be real clear here. We could say that, well, my spouse doesn't know, so it's not breaking my relationship. But let me just guarantee something. Whether your spouse knows or not what you're looking at or who you're with or what you're thinking about, it's breaking your relationship with your spouse. And that is an insatiable appetite that we must identify in our hearts. And not only with our spouses, but here's the bottom line. And I'm just going to speak directly to men because I am one. If we don't address this in our hearts and we walk around looking at women as objects, if we're married, we don't only break our relationship with our spouse, but we break and shatter our relationships with women. Because the first way we view them is not as sisters in Christ, not as someone else's daughter or wife. We view them as objects. And right then and there, that relationship is wounded. So this applies whether you're married or not. This applies whether we are married or not. We must protect our hearts, actively protect our hearts from insatiable appetites. Another one, and perhaps this along the same line of thinking is maybe perhaps leans towards men too, but maybe more towards women, is, are there any relationships broken or breaking because of my desire for attention? See, as many men struggle with the lust of the eyes, many women struggle with the desire for attention from men. And the easiest way to do that is the way you dress, right? And that applies in the same way it applies to your spouse. Is my relationship with my spouse broken or breaking because I desire the attention of other members of the opposite sex besides him or her? But it also applies whether you're married or not. Because you're taking their attention from the Lord and wanting it to be on you. An insatiable appetite for attention. But this could apply anywhere. If we find ourselves in every conversation we have wanting it to be about us. In fact, being disappointed after a conversation because at the end of the conversation we didn't talk enough about me, about what's going on in my life. That's an insatiable appetite for attention. And Jesus says clearly here, we must actively protect. It's not a passive protection. We don't set up a fence and leave it alone and hope things don't cross over. It's active protection. We set up a fence and we put guards at it. They watch day and night to make sure our hearts don't lean in the direction of any kind of insatiable appetites, whether it's for money and possessions, lust, control, or power, or attention. We actively guard our hearts. In other words, we wake up every day knowing that our hearts lean in that direction. And we wake up every day asking the Lord, help me. My heart leans in that direction. Help me actively protect it against those appetites. So Jesus followers must actively protect the heart, our hearts from insatiable appetites. That at the end of the day, even when we feed them, they just get hungrier, don't they? They just grow. Never, never satisfied. Verse 16. And he, Jesus, told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This isn't a warm and fuzzy parable that Jesus tells, is it? It's not. Look at verse 16. The man had already had more than he needed. Jesus calls him a rich man. In other words, he had more than he needed. Now, there's nothing moral or immoral about that. The man just had more than he needed. That was his life. And then look at what happens. He has a bumper crop. So much so that he already has goods stored up for the future. And with this crop that has come in that is plentiful, he's not sure what he's going to do with it. So he decides he's going to tear down his small barns and build large ones and store up everything he doesn't need. Now, one of the things we need to see here is that this man had a good problem, right? That's a good problem to have. What am I going to do with the stuff I don't need? And then he proceeds to make this all about him. Maybe you caught it when we read it the first time, but listen to his words. Verse 17, he says, pondering this problem, he says, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. You hear it? He's like, he's all about himself. Keep reading. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, notice who he talks to in the midst of this problem, himself, because he is all about who? Himself and his stuff. Just in this little section here, he references himself and his stuff 12 times. Notice that a man who has healthy relationships in his life probably would have had somebody to talk to or to give to, but this man doesn't. We need to see that covetousness and insatiable appetites at their core are driven by selfishness. So whether it's about money and possessions or power and control or lust and attention, those insatiable appetites always point to the fact that whoever that is struggling with that and feeding the appetite is about them. This man was about him, himself. So one of the things we need to see is that covetousness and insatiable appetites at their core are driven by selfishness. Continue reading with me in verse 20. Look at what God says to him in the midst of his folly. God said to him, "Fool. Fool." In other words, this man has been fooled by the idea that if he can just feed this appetite for stuff more, he'll be okay. Look at what he says. He says, talking to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." So he's excited about this because it's all about him. And Jesus says that God spoke to this man in the midst of his folly and says, "You fool, you've been tricked. You thought you were taking care of you and yours, and you've done nothing. You've done nothing. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" In other words, this man has no one. We talk about treasures in heaven, and we see the most important things that God has given us are himself and other people, and this man has neither. And it's evidenced by the fact that he talks to himself and the fact that God approaches himself and says, "You fool, who are you going to give all this stuff to? You have no one because of your selfishness. It's been all about you, and guess what? When the day you die, today, when I require your soul of you, it's going to be all about you, and you have no one, no one." We need to see that covetousness and insatiable appetites will destroy relationships. They will. We know the stories, don't we, of families broken and shattered over money and possessions? If we gathered around here, we could write story after story, like real life, true stories of those accounts, right? Money and possessions, splitting families up, breaking relationships. We could write about true story after true story about power and control, breaking relationships. One of the most common ways we see that is within the local church. These people want this, these people want this, these people have the control, these people don't, so they go different ways. Broken relationships. And we could give example after example of how lust and the desire for attention breaks relationships, don't we? Marriage after marriage, family after family, scarred child after scarred child because of insatiable appetites. Covetousness and insatiable appetites, when our hearts are not protected from them, they lead to the destruction of relationships. We need to see it. One of the reasons Jesus warns us so firmly against covetousness. Now look at verse 21. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus applies this parable. The idea of laying up treasure here on this earth regardless of what it is, what form it takes, and giving no thought towards God. Notice this man never paused to think what he could do for the kingdom of God, never paused to think that he needed wisdom outside of himself. Perhaps God would be a good place to go. He never gave thought to it. He was all about himself. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's pause for a second. This is just a side note, but we need to realize that the world we live in and the country we live in lends itself to this. There are countries where people live that they don't get to think about eating and drinking and being merry, because all they can think about is getting them and themselves, their family, through that day, that 24-hour period. So we need to be real clear, the country we live in and the fact that we are blessed beyond belief by possessions, most of us, it lends itself towards the temptation to depend and want more. Depend upon more and want more. We need to recognize that. It lends itself to leading us to the temptation to believe that if we could just eat, drink, and be merry, we'd be okay. This man never referenced God. So we need to see that covetousness and insatiable appetites break our relationship with God. Simply put, it means that we'd rather have something or someone else more than him. And that's a break in relationship. And if we dig down a little bit deeper, when it comes down to it, the desire for more, whether it's attention or money or possessions or whatever it is, the desire for more and is built upon a core belief, whether we recognize it or not, that if I could have more, then I'd be better off. Or if I could have more, then I would be happier or more satisfied. And that thought is built upon the belief that God cannot or will not satisfy me fully. That's the root of it. So if the answer to one of the questions earlier is this or that breaking or has broken a relationship in my life, if the answer to that was yes, then somewhere along the way, a decision was made that something would satisfy you more than God, and it was worth breaking that relationship over. And that foundational belief that God cannot satisfy me or will not satisfy me, that money, possessions, power, control, lust, or attention will, that foundational belief is a lack of faith in the one who formed us in our mother's womb, that God cannot satisfy. We need to be clear on something as we talk about this parable this morning, that the call to follow Jesus is a call to self-denial. In Luke 9:23, go ahead and turn back there. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Jesus is not self-denial for the sake of self-denial. It is self-denial for the sake of following him and building his kingdom. So we got to be clear. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And the very idea of taking up our cross is a radical idea of self-denial. It's a denial of life itself. To take up an instrument of torture and execution, to bear that daily, and to follow him. We need to realize that we're following a man who denied himself. The very Son of God who came down to us humbled himself, not just to the point of humanity, but to the point of a lowly man. The son of a carpenter. And then denied himself to the point of taking on the cross. A torturous death for us. That is who we are called to follow. So the issue of covetousness and insatiable appetites relate directly to our hearts and our journey following Jesus, because it is directly against all those things that are stored up in our hearts. So the call to follow Jesus is a call to self-denial for the sake of his kingdom. But it is also a call to trust him, because on the other side of that self-denial, Jesus was resurrected. And in that death and resurrection of Jesus, that is where we find life and joy and peace and satisfaction. That is what our hearts are longing for when we think we want more stuff. What we need is Jesus. And that sounds so simplistic, but it's just the truth. If we find ourselves longing for more of something, we need to turn to him and allow him to satisfy our souls and our hearts. But so often, that's not what we do, is it? It's not what we do. We turn to stuff. For some of us here, that's been the story of your whole life. You've been searching. You know your heart longs for more of something, and so you've just tried to fill it. And you've been searching, longing to fill that void. And you've tried to fill it and just found yourself more thirsty and more hungry. Know this morning that your heart is longing for Jesus. And the call is to repent from seeking to satisfy yourself and to follow him. And you can do that this morning. For those of us who follow Jesus here this morning, perhaps he's pricked your heart. And you need to repent of selfishness. Or perhaps we need to repent of trying to feed an appetite that should be fed by Jesus. Perhaps repentance looks like going to restore relationships that have been broken in your past. Whatever it is, when we leave here this morning, as Jesus follows, we should be actively protecting our hearts against insatiable appetites. I want to encourage you to follow the Spirit as you respond this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Pray that you'd have your way with us this morning. Whatever that means, we pray that you'd have your way with us this morning. We know our hearts long and thirst for more than this world could ever offer. So, Lord, we pray that you would lead us to a place that we could be satisfied in you alone. Lead us to respond for your glory and your glory alone. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.